Amen. In Matthew 26 and verse number 47, before I read the scripture, I'd like to give you a little bit of background right before this. Everybody knows, and everybody knows the story. I ain't got to tell you too much about it, but everybody knows where Jesus was praying in the garden. And he went back to Peter and the two sons of Zebedee the Bible's talking about, and he goes back and he says, "Hey, what, could y'all not watch with me 1 hour while I go pray?" He said, "Could y'all not watch with me?" And they kept going to sleep on him and falling asleep on Jesus. And there's a lot to say about that. And I don't want to be asleep whenever Jesus comes back doing whatever he told me to be doing. But a lot of times I am. I'm guilty of that myself. But in verse number 47, this is after that they had lost their opportunity to pray with Jesus right here. Does everybody see that right here in the scripture? He said, "Rise, let us be going." And in one verse he said, "Sleep on now." He said, "The hour's come." And but it says, "Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand and doth betray me." In verse number 47 it says, "While he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staffs, and from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he betrayed him, gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same he hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid their hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou not," this is where I want to look at tonight, "thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out as against the thief with the swords and staffs for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook and fled. And I like what Jesus says right there in verse number 55. He said, "I was over there with you in the temple." He said, "Why didn't you get me then?" He said, "I was over there." He said, "You're coming to me." He said, look what he said right there. He said, "Are you come against me as a thief?" He said, "I haven't done anything wrong." He said, "I was over there with you in the temple. You could have got me then." He said, "I was over there with you telling you this and telling you that." He said, "Why didn't y'all they done realize who Jesus was. And they done realize what it's going to take to get him. But the whole time Jesus said, he said, just because I who I am and just because I know what I'm doing, here I am. Y'all go ahead and take me now." It was almost like, and I don't want to compare Jesus to a criminal, but have you seen those people on the cop shows, some of them take off running. And I watched a video the other day, and I don't want to take too much time on this, but I watched a video the other day, old guy wouldn't stop. So the police pulled out his taser and shot him. Well, he happened to hit that magazine in his back pocket. The bullet started exploding. I thought it was pretty funny, but I tell you, the ones the cops like the best is one of those ones where they ain't got to chase them. And they just walk up with their hands out. But I use that as the illustration tonight. Jesus said, and Jesus knew in his mind, and we know that Jesus didn't do anything wrong. Jesus said, "Here I am. Go ahead and take me. Take me for their sin. Take me for their punishment." Listen to what I'm saying tonight. I just want to teach for just a few minutes on, if the Lord allow me. I believe if there's anything we need to hear on a Tuesday night, if there's anything I need to hear on a Tuesday night, if there's anything that anybody could hear on a Tuesday night that would help them after a long week, after it's already been a long week and you're just looking for Friday to get here. Am I the only one in here that's looking for Friday to get here? But I just want to tell you tonight that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And I'm going to give you a few reasons. You say, how am I supposed to know that? I really don't feel like it right now, Brother Patrick, to be honest with you. I really don't understand. And I don't understand a lot of things. There's a lot of things pushing me this way and pushing me that way. And I really don't feel Jesus' love right now in this moment in my life. Well, let me give you a few reasons out of the scripture we just read that Jesus does love you. First of all, I see Jesus was born to a family, first of all. Jesus was born, first of all. We go all the way back to the beginning of the gospel and we can see, you say, what are you talking about? Well, we know that man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He was born into this world for you. And he lived a life for you. He was born into that family for you. And something that's helped me out a lot, just knowing that Jesus knows what we're going through. And I remember one day thinking, and I remember one day sitting around, and I was upset about my, and most of you know I came out of a divorced home, and I'm not mulling grubbing about that tonight. I want to use this tonight for God's glory. And I was sitting around the house one night, and I got to thinking, and I was reading in the Bible, and I got to thinking, you know, Joseph wasn't Jesus' real daddy. We know that God was Jesus' daddy. He's God's only son tonight. We know that tonight. Jesus had a stepdaddy. Would everybody agree with that tonight? And I got to thinking, I said, I'm glad he knows what I'm going through tonight. And it was a whole complete different situation. I know it wasn't because of divorce, but he listened to another man. He respected another man that was not his father. And he didn't have to do that, but he did it anyways. You say, why? As far as I'm concerned, it was for nobody else but me. And every other person that's ever had a step-parent in here. And that's just my thought on that tonight. And that's just what God helped me with. I hope He helps you with it too. But He was born to a family, first of all. Second of all, I see He was betrayed by a friend. We're talking about Jesus loves you tonight. We're talking about how we know that Jesus loves you tonight. First of all, He's born to a family. Second of all, He's betrayed by a friend. In verse number 47 through verse number 50, we see the story unfold. And we see that Jesus had lived 33 years. And every time they came to get Him, up until this point, Jesus always, He always had a way out. And He always, it wasn't time yet. And it wasn't time for them to take Him, but this was His time. But I see that Jesus was betrayed by a friend. Look what it says in verse number 50. And Jesus said unto him, friend. Ain't it amazing tonight that Jesus called Judas a friend and Peter Satan? Ain't that amazing tonight? But no doubt, whenever Jesus knew all about Judas, He knew that, He knew, and I can only imagine that it broke His heart, but He said, friend, wherefore art thou come? And I believe He said that because He wanted Judas to say it. I believe He said that because He wanted Judas to answer it. But Jesus was betrayed right here. He was betrayed. Look what He says, in verse number 46. Rise, let us be going. Behold, He is at hand that doth betray me. You see, Jesus knows what it's like. I wonder if there's anybody in here tonight that knows what it's like to be betrayed. Can I tell you, you can know that He loves you tonight because He went through that. Where He would know what it's like. Where He could help you through it. Where He could hold you through it. Where He could... Maybe I'm the only one in here tonight that's been betrayed, but I very much doubt it tonight. I know some people's had people turn their back on you. Had people... We can look on down in verse number 56. Look what it says at the end of that verse. Then all His disciples forsook Him and fled. Jesus knows what it's like to be betrayed tonight. You ain't by yourself tonight, whatever you're going through tonight. Jesus knows what it's like. I've had friends, Brother Ken, I've had friends that I thought I would go to the grave with. I really did. And I know I'm just a young man, but I literally thought that we'd be best friends forever. And now I couldn't tell you where they're at tonight. I couldn't tell you where they're at tonight. And I'm over here going through my storm carrying the cross that Jesus has given me, but they're nowhere to be found. You hear what I'm saying tonight? But God will take care of them tonight. It's not our job to take care of them. Jesus just said, friend, wherefore art thou come? And Jesus wasn't worried about Judas because Jesus had a plan. And those people that betrayed you is just all part of God's wonderful plan tonight. I'm glad we serve a sovereign God tonight that knows exactly what we're going through. But not only was He betrayed by a friend, He was beaten by the foe. He was beaten by the foe. If you flip over a page or so in your Bible, and I won't read all this for the sake of time, but in verse number 35 it says, and they crucified Him, and parted His garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched Him there. I can only imagine what the devil was doing on that day. The Bible doesn't say, I don't know, but I can only imagine the devil's over there saying, I got him now. I've won now. I've defeated him now. I've been trying for all these years to defeat him, and I finally beat Jesus. I finally beat God on this one. Can you hear him saying that? And there Jesus hangs on the cross, and they're just sitting there watching him. That's what the Bible says. They're just sitting there watching him. Sitting down. They had done pulled up a chair, and they had done started watching him. And they were just looking at him. We got him now. We told y'all we would get this man. The whole time, in the back of everybody's mind, and Jesus knows in his mind, he ain't done nothing wrong. Have you ever felt like you hadn't done anything wrong and the devil still comes to beat you up on Monday morning? Have you? And there's a lot of times I have done wrong, and he's exactly right with what he's saying, but Jesus still paid for my sin, and he still died for my sin, and I've got to point him over to Jesus. But have you ever felt like you just haven't done anything wrong? And those thoughts still come in your mind. And those thoughts still race through your head. And just for some reason or another, the devil's just over there beating on you. That's just what he did to Jesus. They hated him first. The enemy hated him a whole lot more. And a whole lot long before you came along tonight. He was beaten by the foe tonight. We're talking about how you know Jesus loves you. He was born to a family, betrayed by a friend, beaten by the foe. But I see he bled for the flock tonight. I see he bled for the flock tonight. We know that the blood is how we're getting in tonight. And I preached at a church Sunday morning, and I started talking about the blood, and I literally felt flack against it. It's almost like they didn't even want to hear it. But tonight, I tell you tonight, how you know Jesus loves you, and for somebody to pour their blood out for you, to somebody give their life for you, you know they love you tonight. And as he hung there, and you say, how do you know the blood matters? Well, over there in Revelation, I'm glad you asked it. Now, over there in Revelation, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And I thank God for the blood tonight, because without the blood, this old boy wouldn't be getting in. You wouldn't be getting in. Those kids down there, you say they hadn't done much wrong. They wouldn't be getting in without the blood tonight. But I thank God for the blood tonight. You see, whenever he said, here I am, go ahead and take me now. You see, he knew what was coming ahead. He'd done been praying, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The Son and the Father loved us too much to stop in the garden. You hear what I'm saying tonight? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. I'm glad he bled for the flock. But not only am I glad that he bled for the flock, we know that he died there on the cross. I'm glad he was buried for the flock. You look at the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What business does he have being in a cold, dark grave other than just simply the fact that he loved us? In verse number 57, look at him with me if you have your Bible. It says, when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it on his own new tomb. Look in verse number 60. He laid it on his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. You see, he was buried for the flock. He went to the grave for us tonight. You say, well, that just don't do much for me on a Tuesday night. I'm glad he died for me. You see, he died for us where we didn't have to die. He died for us where we could live. Do you understand tonight what I'm saying? He bled for the flock. He was buried for the flock. But I'm glad tonight that he was brought forth for the flock because he loved us. You hear what I'm saying tonight? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Son to die on the cross, to shed his blood, to go to a grave. But I sure am glad tonight that wasn't the end, and he got up out of the grave. Chapter number 28, verse number 6, look what it says right there. It says, he's not here, he is risen. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. You see, there's a lot of people in this world tonight that's serving a dead God. They're serving a dead God. Whatever it may be, it may not even be one of the gods you're thinking of. It may be a sport, it may be money, it may be this, it may be that, it may be another person. But if it's not God tonight, it's not worth serving. You hear what I'm saying tonight? I look at this tonight. He was brought forth for the flock. He was brought forth. One of my favorite stories in the whole entire Bible is whenever Jesus gets up out of that grave and He goes over there to Thomas. Somebody that He shouldn't have went to. Somebody that He didn't have to go to. He had done went to His other disciples and Thomas wasn't there. But He came back again when Thomas was there. And I sure am glad He did tonight. He was brought forth for the Thomases. He was brought forth for the Peter. He was brought forth for the Johns. He was brought forth for the Jameses. He was brought forth for this one and for that one. He was brought forth for Brother Ken Bowen. He's brought forth for Brother Mike. I sure am glad He was brought forth for me. I'll tell you what, if I'd have had to get up out of a grave for me, I'd have just stayed in there. I wouldn't have never got up because I wouldn't have been worth having. But Jesus seen something that nobody else seen tonight. And He was brought forth because He loved us tonight. But I see not only was He brought forth, I see He's battling for the flock tonight. We look over at Hebrews chapter number 10. It talks about how He sat down on the right hand of God. I said that was my favorite scripture, but this might be in Romans chapter number 8. In Romans chapter number 8, let's just flip over there right quick. We got a little bit of time left. Romans chapter number 8. In verse number 26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Not only was He brought forth for the flock, He's still battling for the flock tonight. I believe with all my heart He's sitting over there on the right hand of God. And I know the battle's already finished. I know we've already won the war, but there is some small wars we're going through down here right now. And maybe wars with our flesh, or wars with our mind, or wars with the enemy of this world. Or enemy of God, rather. But He's sitting over there battling for us tonight. And every time we get down in our altar, and I know some of you pray in here, you say, "How do you know that?" I can tell by being around you that you're praying. I don't even know who you are. But every time we kneel down to pray, I can only imagine. He says we know not what to pray for as we ought. But I can just only imagine that picture over there whenever we kneel down to pray. "Lord, I need this." Jesus is over there telling the Father. The Spirit's over there telling the Father. He really needs this. I know He said He needs this, but He really needs this. Every time the devil gets on our mind, I can only imagine Jesus walking by and just giving a big old slap on the head tonight. All for His flock. You hear what I'm saying tonight? Jesus loves His bride. He loves His sheep tonight. And He'd do anything for His sheep tonight. He left the 99 to go get the one out in the wilderness. He'll do whatever it takes to keep His sheep safe. You hear what I'm saying tonight? If you placed your trust in Jesus, you ain't got nothing to worry about. He's taking care of the battle tonight. And not only that, but lastly tonight, I see we're talking about how Jesus loves us tonight. You say, what else could go on top of all that? Brother Patrick, I'm about convinced that Jesus, I hope you're about convinced tonight that Jesus still loves you, just like He said He did in His Word. But lastly tonight, I see He'll be back for His flock. Amen. I see He'll be back for His flock. In John chapter number 14, we all know the Scripture. I won't flip over there and read it for the sake of time. But in John chapter number 14, He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. But if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You know how people know they love you? They want to be around you. There are certain people I don't want to be around. There are certain people, not that I love them, but not as much as I love others. And I was just talking about in here tonight, whenever we walked in, wanting to be around these people in here. It's because I love y'all. You say, how can you love us? You barely know it. I don't even know a lot of your names. I'm really bad with names, but I love you tonight. You say, but Jesus said, where I am, there you may be also. You see, Jesus wants to be around us for some reason. Brother Ken, there's times where I don't even want to be around myself. There's times like today where if I could have gotten away from myself, I would have gotten away from myself. But it amazes me tonight that Jesus is coming back. Just where we can be where He's at. You see, there's times where my wife don't want to be around me. The people I work with don't want to be around me. My friends don't want to be around me. But I tell you, one person that wants me where He's at is Jesus tonight. And very soon He's coming back to get me tonight. And we're going to be where He's at tonight. I sure am glad Jesus loves us tonight. You may feel like nobody in the tower. I see people post on Facebook all the time. They say, nobody loves me. If they only knew how much Jesus loved them. If they only knew. I sure am glad He loves us tonight. Ain't you? I sure am glad everything Jesus, I don't know if you know this or not, but everything Jesus ever did was for us and for His Father. To do the will of the Father that sent Him. We know that. Everything else He did for us. Just where we could be where He's at one day. You see, Adam, he broke that fellowship. He broke that whenever Adam sinned in the garden. He broke that fellowship with God. Jesus restored it. Just where we could walk with Him again. Hey, I like what the Bible says over there. He walked with Adam in the cool of the night. Can you all imagine one glad day whenever we start walking with Him again? Whenever, I like what the old song says, and I just have to think it's true one day. Whenever we walk hand in hand with Jesus. And you see, I may be a little too old, Brother Ken, to walk hand in hand with my daddy down here. He's one of my best friends in this world, and I love him to death. But one day I'm going to walk hand in hand with my Heavenly Father. And I bless His name for that. Brother Mike or Brother Ken, I'm finished. Whatever y'all got.